shame is a prison, as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love isn't my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. Let's sing that. Shame is a prison. Come on. As cruel as a grave, shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love isn't my redeemer, lifting me up from.
tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it.
Shame is a prison, as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love isn't my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. Let's sing that. Shame is a prison. Come on. It's cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the...
Tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never.
give what we don't deserve, and you take the broken things and raise them to glory. Start.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ascend Church. Please stand and sing along with us.
Hey, good morning.
This, so sing along with me.
I searched the world, but it couldn't feel me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along. You put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love.
Sing along with me.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
You turn back.
Amen.
Need the next song.
I Need a Ghost. This is a new one. So if you've heard it, sing along with us. Have seen the God who heals. I know when I ask, I'll receive it. 'Cause you're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe me. Here we go. I need a Holy Ghost awaken in my soul. I need a love that flows rattling my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Awaken in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. I need a holy, holy ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, holy, oh, I need a ghost. I don't need a counterfeit comfort, 'cause nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that blows rattling my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. The fire, I can't even explain it. It's like I'm bursting with a heavenly language. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been growing inside me. It's like a lion's roar that wants to revive me. Every time I get a taste, I know I just want more.
There was something that happened on the day of Pentecost that changed the lives of the believers. You know, there was something that happened because the Holy Ghost descended and people were changed into another man. Just like in the Old Testament, the Bible says that when the Spirit of God came upon Saul, that he became another man and began to prophesy. So it happened, the New Testament says the Lord, when there was the birth of the church. And I said, the church cannot continue without the power of the Holy Ghost. And so I said, go into the upper room and wait. And wait. And don't do anything until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. For as believers, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in everything that He has given us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us when we are weak. We need the Holy Spirit to comfort us when we are discouraged. We need the Holy Spirit to speak through us when we don't know what to say. And we need the power of God to flow through us so that His life can touch the people around us. And we cannot do that in our own strength. And so the sooner we realize that we need the Holy Ghost in everything we do, the sooner we begin to walk in everything God has for us. So I want you right here to lift your hands. Lift your hands, because it's up to you how much power you walk in your life. It's up to you that when you come into a room, people feel something that is beyond your personality, that is beyond your natural compassion, that's beyond your natural wisdom, that they hear something through your words that is beyond human wisdom. But they begin to hear the sound of the voice of God, and they begin to feel the presence of God when you walk in. And that is what God wants, because we are His body on the earth. And Jesus was filled without measure with the Holy Spirit. And He wants us to walk, each of us, in that measure that He has for us. Each one of us, in order to be effective as the body of Christ, we have to walk in the measure of the Holy Ghost anointing that dwells within us. And it's not weird, and it's not spooky, and it's not super spiritual that no one can understand, but it is felt. Because Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem, and the presence of God was felt. Because a widow woman was walking with her only son to his funeral. And when the presence of God in Jesus descended upon that coffin, that boy was raised from the dead. Jesus was not weird, but He was powerful. And you don't have to be weird, but you need to be powerful. And there's no way to be powerful other than being filled and refilled and desiring more of the Holy Ghost. So we're going to sing that verse one more time. And I want you to tell the Lord, I need the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. Come on.
I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that grows rattled in my bones. The evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired. Holy, Holy Ghost, I need a ghost. Holy, Holy, oh, I need a ghost.
And I know you guys know this song, so sing along. Please, just sing out. Sing out. Just let it out. is worthy. So let's sing our praises to him.
It was my cross you bore so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore.
Sing it.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now my shame is gone, and I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
Exalted. Sing it out. Here we go. Sing it from your heart.
And be exalted now in the heaven as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heaven. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory.
Let's exalt him.
As your glory
lift him up.
This place.
You alone deserve the praise.
You're the name above all men.
Exalt the praise. The magnify.
Be exalted.
Exalt. You are worthy.
Oh.
Worthy. You are mighty.
Worthy.
You are great. You're an awesome God. There's nobody like you. Oh, we worship you.
Come on, sing it.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Sing it.
You know, there's something that happens when we worship God. We begin to feel the manifest presence of God. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. As you draw near to God, the way we do is you enter his courts with thanksgiving, you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Amen. So right now in our service, welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those that are watching. Right now is the time in our service where we have a time of prayer. If there's any need in your life that you'd like prayer for, we have a team that'll be standing up here. They're filled with faith. They want to join their faith with yours. You don't have to walk alone. You don't have to believe God alone. Somebody will pray with you. Those that are watching online, we're going to pray a prayer of faith over you. You know, prayer changes things. This week, my Pastor Steve's mom, Maureen, she had gone with, on Friday, she's gone to Kentucky with Ron, her husband. And he called us on Friday night, and she had tripped and fallen. They were in a parking lot, and there was a hole in and she didn't see it. And she tripped, and she fell hard on the floor, and she was in agony. And she couldn't move her leg, and she was convinced something was broken in her hip area. And Ron called immediately, and he said, this is what's happened. And we prayed. We just took authority over that. We prayed that there'd be nothing wrong. Other people prayed. And when we spoke to them later on, she said they checked her out, and she had no broken bones, nothing. And then on Saturday morning when he called, she's like, I'm fine. She couldn't move, exactly. Right, she said she was in, Ron said she was in the hospital, and all of a sudden she felt better. And so praise God, that's the power. No, she said no doubt it was the power of prayer, amen. And so don't underestimate what God can do. Sometimes we think, well, you know what, the doctor can take care of this. Yes, he could, but do you know Jesus is the healer? And he can help you in ways that doctors can't, right? So we're going to pray right now for those online, those that need prayer right now. And those of you, when we sing our last song, feel free to just come forward. People here in the front will join their faith with yours and pray with you over anything you need. But right now, join your faith with me as we pray for those watching. Father, I pray for every person watching. You know the need. You know the needs in people's lives. I just speak to all pain. I command it to go from them right now. You said that healing will spring forth speedily. I command that to take place right now where people have been sick, that healing will begin to spring forth. I speak to Dennis's kidney. I command that kidney to begin to function exactly the way that it's meant to function, that there's no need for dialysis, but that kidney does its job the way that it's meant to do. Thank you, Father, for doing what doctors cannot do. We speak to all depression, all anxiety, all marital trouble right now. We take authority over you in Jesus' name. Father, we just speak life and healing. And if you in this building right now and you need prayer, step out and come forward, and we're going to sing one more worship song that is a declaration directly from the Word of God that will be over your house, over your family, over your children, over your grandchildren in Jesus' name. Amen.
shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Sing it with me. Here we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Here we go. Amen. 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 Next verse. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Come on, sing with me, you guys. This goes out to your family and your children.
Yes.
Yeah, this is powerful.
Yes. Yes, let's declare it. Let's declare it over our family.
Sing it with me.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children. And their children, may his favor be upon you for a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you for a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you for a thousand generations and your family and your children and the children.
children and the children in his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you. He is with you, he is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 He is for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, thank you, Lord, for your favor. Come on, say, thank you, Lord, for your favor and your blessing that is on me, on my family, on my children, on my grandchildren, 1,000 generations. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Amen. Say amen. Come on, shout it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. We praise Him. We bless Him. We exalt Him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, amen. The word amen means, it means so be it. A lot of people don't know that. When you declare, do you say amen or amen? Do you say amen or amen? I say amen. When you say amen, you are declaring, so let it be in my life. So let it be on my children. So let it be on the earth. There's power. You're agreeing with God. You're standing in agreement. You're declaring, amen, I receive it. And something happens when you do that. And I believe God's blessing is on you. God's blessing is on your children. God's blessing is on your grandchildren. God's blessing is on many generations because of your faith in God. Amen. I just want to commend the band. What a great job you did today. Won't you give them a big round of applause? You did a great job today. That song, I Need a Ghost. That song, I Need a Ghost. That was my request. I Need a Ghost. I've been singing that song for the last few weeks. It's Brandon Lake's. And man, oh man, it's like Chris Stapleton anointed. That's what it's. It's anointed Chris Stapleton. I need a ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. And you just got up there and gave that amazing word right after that song. Just praise God. I tell you, the Lord is good. I don't know about you. I'm glad to be in church today. I'm glad you're here today. Amen. Welcome somebody. Give him a fist bump. Good to see you. Glad you're here.
Well, welcome to church this morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those who have maybe just joined us today. I love that we're able to meet in person, and we're able to live stream for those who are not here. For those of our members who are still not back in church, we miss you. We love you. We pray you enjoy this service and get something out of it today. And those that are too far to come to our churches, keep watching. The Word of God will change your life. Amen. Welcome. Especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors, don't we? We love having visitors. And if you're here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything like that, but we just like to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, do you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. Come on, family. Welcome. Make it sound like you mean it, right? Anyone else? Just lift your hand until an usher sees you. In there's a couple of things, but there is a guest card that we ask if you just take a moment and fill that out. In a short while, we'll pass an offering bucket down your row, and just drop that card in, and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. A lot of chit-chatting going on here. a lot of fellowship, a lot of mingling going on here. Praise God. Well, I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. First of all, that you would know God. Second of all, that you would find freedom. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose. And lastly, that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. And we're switching the service around a little bit today. And right now, we're going to receive the church offering. And I always like to read a scripture when we do that. Those of you that are watching online, it's really simple. There's a click. You can click give online and it'll take you through a process. It's really simple. First time, it's a little bit of setup. And then after that, it's just enter your password and it's straightforward. Those of you sitting here, you can use the envelopes in the seats. In front of you, you can give online. Various ways to give will come up on the screen. But I always like to just share a thought that I have concerning the offering from the Word of God. And you know, the honest truth, the sad truth is, today there are some people not in churches because they have that thought, the church just wants my money. Anybody ever heard that from someone? So they'd rather avoid church altogether because they feel like the church is going to want their money, right? But let me tell you this, and especially visitors, don't get nervous. I just want to tell you that you can come to church every single week for the rest of your life and never give anything, and you'd be most welcome. And you can receive the fellowship, and you can receive the word. You can receive everything there is, and you don't have to. There is no pressure to give whatsoever. Amen? However, I thought about this story. Pastor Steve and I were talking to someone, and they were saying, oh, I love the UK because you get free health care and you get free benefits and you get free this and you get free that. And Pastor Steve said, you do know that that's not free, right? You do understand that somebody is paying for that, right? That somebody's taxes, that someone got a real tax hike for you to have something free, right? And so it's the same with church. You know, the reason I could walk in as a 15-year-old girl who'd never given anything to the kingdom of God, the reason I could walk into a church and get saved is because somebody else gave so that there was a church that I could walk into and get saved. Amen? And so there's no such thing as free. Somebody's taking care of it. Salvation's free. Exactly. It's like water's free, but the plumbing to get it to your house is not, right? I know in this church, we have a revelation. We have an understanding. We've come further than thinking like that. I'm just was thinking about how some people think that keeps them away from the things of God. I know that in this room, we have people who want to follow God's word. Anybody want to follow God's word? We want to follow God's word. We want all that God has for us, but also we have started getting a revelation of the blessing that is attached to tithing and giving. Once you get that revelation, Nobody has to convince you of anything, right? We were just talking about it yesterday. When you get, you have that conviction, that revelation, that understanding, it doesn't matter where you are, what country you're in, what part, you know, what stage of your life you're in, you believe it and you know the blessing attached to it. And so you just easily and cheerfully tithe and give. Amen. Jesus said this. He said in Luke 6:38, give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you. Say that. Say, when I give generously, generous gifts are given back to me. Now, sometimes people think, well, that's not my motive for giving. It may not be your motive for giving, but let me tell you, Jesus said that when you give, there are generous gifts that are attached to that giving. It is giving and receiving. So you can expect things to come back to you because of your giving. He said, give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. I like the sound of that. Because, you know, if you have blessings that are running over the top, it means that you don't just have your needs taken care of, you take care of other people's needs. Isn't that good? He says, your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. That's the reason we give, family, because it's in the Word of God and there are blessings attached to it. I'm going to read one more little passage, two verses that Paul was talking to the Corinthians about giving. He said, now concerning the money contributed for the relief of the saints, God's people, you are to do the same as I directed the churches of Galatia. So obviously Paul was telling the different churches he went to in the New Testament how to give and how it worked. He says this in verse 2, on the first day of each week, say each week, he said, let each one of you, say each one of you, personally put aside something and save it up as he has prospered. Say, as I have prospered, in proportion to what he has given, so that no collections need to be taken after I come. So I like the principles I see there. Paul said it's really important that each week, each one put aside a portion according to how he has prospered. Everybody's prospered differently in the room. You may have earned $100. Someone else might have earned $100,000. But he says in proportion to what you've been blessed with, that's how you give. Amen. And so tithing is a tenth of what I give. It's even across the board. It makes it that each one can participate from the level that they're at, but that it evens the load. Amen. And so as we prepare to give, I'd always just like to share a bit of the word, because we give, everything we do is just to line up with the Word of God. It's not because somebody stirs you to give something. It's because we're following the Word of God. Amen. So as we prepare to give, Father, I thank you for each and every giver, those that are giving online right now, those that are sitting here, you know their lives, you know their circumstance. I pray, thank you for your word that has promises attached. So promises to those that have tithed online already this week or are tithing today, who are so faithful to give into your kingdom. I thank you that the windows of heaven are open above them, pouring out blessing upon them. I thank you that you open doors of opportunity, that you bring new clients, new business, Father, that you give them witty inventions and new ideas, Father, supernatural wisdom and provision in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you receive it, say amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. We so appreciate all of our faithful givers who give online every week, all of you who are faithful to give. We couldn't do what we're doing if it wasn't for you. So thank you so much. Welcome to everyone today. We're so glad all those are here in person. We're glad you're here. It's great to see so many of you here this morning. And all those watching online, we're so glad you're joining us. I'm going to ask to try and keep this aisle clear, whoever in the aisle, try not to walk in front of that camera if you can, because I'm talking right now to the world out there. And I want to tell you, wherever you're watching from, put a comment. We'd love to know. We have people watch from South Africa. We have people watch in Switzerland. We have people watch all over. We have the Philippines. We have people watch all over. Put a comment where you're watching from. We're so glad that you've joined us today. All of our Ascend Church members that are watching today, we want you to know that we're praying for you, we miss you, and we can't wait to see you again soon in person. Amen. Now listen, I've got a powerful word for you this morning, but I've got three important things that I want to tell you. I'm going to tell you two of them before I preach today, and on the last one, I'm going to save it till the end. First thing I want to tell you is that this Saturday, we are hosting the Return, which is a day of global and national prayer and repentance for America and the world, and it's being held in Washington, D.C. this Saturday. Jonathan Kahn is very much a part of this. And who's the other person? And Kevin Jessup. And so we are going to have the live stream. And we were going to meet at 12, but I've changed it to 11 because Jonathan Kahn is speaking from Washington, D.C. at 11 a.m. And I believe it's important that we would hear the message that he has for America. And then we're going to pray. How many of you believe it's important for us to pray for America? One, two. Now, you may believe it. How many of you actually do it? Well, listen, you have an opportunity. I'm asking you this Saturday to put aside your own interest and to come and pray for America. If there's ever a time that we need to be praying, it's right now. If you knew what was going on in the spiritual realm, you would be on your knees praying. And I want to thank everyone that has been praying. Please come and join us this Saturday. This is open to everybody. This is open to all churches, people from other churches. They are welcome to come. We are coming together as the body of Christ to pray for America. So I hope you will join us at 11 a.m. this Saturday. Everybody say, this Saturday at 11 a.m. I'm going to be here because I'm going to be praying. Say, I'm going to be praying this Saturday. I'm doing everything I can, Lord. I'm doing everything I can, Lord. Second thing I want to tell you that I'm so excited about. The Lord has opened a wonderful door. For years, I've had it in my heart to get on to... I was on television. I used to be on television for a number of years, but I was on a Christian channel, and only Christians watched, and not very many. It wasn't it didn't have a wide viewership, but it was very inexpensive, and it was a good experience for me because I think I was on 6 years, but I always wanted to get onto a network channel where we could reach people. How many believe it's important for us to let people in our city know that we are here? I have so many people come to me and say, Pastor Steve, man, I have so many people tell me, what can we do? We've got to let people know about our church. Well, I have been given opportunity to go onto Fox 29 every Sunday at 7:30 for 30 minutes, and I have been offered it at 80% discount on their normal rate. 7:30 in the morning, on Sunday morning. Now, when I inquired about this, Pastor Jill always tells me, you don't have to give them don't tell them how much it is. I'm an open book. I've got to let you know that when I inquired about this about 6 years ago, someone contacted on my behalf, Fox or Network, and they quoted me $5,000 for 30 minutes. Which would have been $20,000 a month if you go on once a week. And that may sound a lot to you, but when you know all these people you watch on TV like Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, do you know how much money that costs? Hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. So we never did it because, you know, of the cost. But the Lord opened a door. I met somebody, and he buys bulk TV time for people like Stephen Furtick, Joyce Meyer, people like that. And he called me, and he said, Pastor Steve, I want to help you. And he said, I can get you on Fox every week instead of $5,000 for $1,000. Now, don't tell everybody about it because not everyone can get this deal. But so I really believe the Lord opened this door. I really do. And I really believe that we are going to get so much more exposure. Because how many of you, I think I'm coming on right before Joel. I think Joel's on at 8, and I think I'm on at 7:30. I think so, but it's a prime spot. And so we start November 1st. November 1st will be our first broadcast. Now that means that I have 6 weeks. We have 6 weeks to get ready. Because how many of you agree we want to put on a first-class professional 30-minute program? In order to do that, we're going to have to spend a little extra money. I've got to buy another 2 cameras. I've got to buy a switcher. We've got some equipment that we have to buy because we want to do it first class. And so at the reason we did the offering at the beginning, we usually do it at the end of the service, is because today, at the end of my sermon, I'm going to receive an offering for the television ministry. And I'm asking if you can to help us. This is the time to make an investment. We probably need to raise about $10,000 to spend on equipment, update our equipment, so we can be ready for November 1st. Now, maybe there's someone here who says, Pastor Steve, you know what? I'm going to pay the first year of your TV time. Here's a check for $52,000. Boom. That wouldn't surprise me in the least, because I have big faith. And I know you love this church, and I wouldn't surprise me if someone did that, but I'm asking you to listen to your heart. Whatever you can do, big or small, it all helps. Amen? Are you ready for God's word today? Isn't that good news? Let me tell you, we're going to go to a whole nother level here. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are building your church. I thank you for every person here today, for all those watching. Father, I pray you speak to every person. Lord, I make it known. I'm not trusting myself. I'm not depending on myself. I'm looking to you today that you would speak through me. And I give you alone all of the honor and the praise for everything that will be said and done. Lord, I pray that your word will go deep into every heart. I pray that lives will be transformed. I pray people will be set free, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, this morning I want to speak to you about what to ignore. What to ignore. If you're going to live in victory in your life, and if you're going to fulfill your God-given destiny, and if you're going to become everything that God intended and destined for you to become, if you want to stay strong in your faith, and if you want to live in peace and joy, you've got to be selective about what you give your time and attention to. You've got to know what thoughts to ignore, what comments to ignore, what circumstances to ignore. Abraham, who's called the father of our faith, he had to do this. God gave Abraham a promise that he would be the father of many nations. Yet he was 99 years old and his wife Sarah was 90 and she was unable to have children. And God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. The Bible tells us that Abraham's own body was telling him that was not possible. So what did Abraham do? In Romans 4 verse 19, it says he did not consider his own body. What did he do? He ignored what his body was telling him. Because his body was telling him, there's no way you can have children or be the father of many nations. You're 99. Have you seen yourself lately? Your wife is 90. She can't have children. His body was telling him it's impossible. But he chose to ignore what his body was telling him and rather to believe what God said, in spite of what his body was telling him. He ignored the facts, you might say. And so the first thing you got to ignore is you got to ignore anything that contradicts what the Word of God says or that discourages your faith. Let me say that again. You have to ignore anything that would contradict what God's Word said. In other words, if God's Word said, my God will supply all your needs by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and yet all your circumstances are telling you, war, you're not going to make it. You've got to ignore what your circumstances say, and you've got to rather believe, I believe my God supplies all my needs. You've got to ignore certain things. When you believe in God for a dream, for a promise, you have to sometimes ignore the facts. It doesn't mean you deny them. You just ignore them. You know, we have 4 children, my children are all grown now, we have grandchildren, but when they were little, there were some times I had to learn to ignore them if I want to have peace. Any parents learned that trick yet? You're not denying they exist. You can hear them. You're just not paying any attention to it. You've got to learn to ignore your circumstances in the same way and believe what God's word says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 7, it says, we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. Say, I live by faith, not by what I see with my eyes. You see, because when you walk by faith, you have to sometimes ignore what you see with your eyes. And when the Bible talks about, you know, we don't look at what we see with our eyes, it's not just limited to our visual perception, but it really is including all five senses. It's our sensory perception. In other words, we walk by faith, not by what we see, or not by what we hear, or not by what we feel, or not by what we smell. We ignore our senses sometimes if it contradicts what God is saying. We believe what God says even when it doesn't make sense to our mind. Do you understand that? If you're going to walk by faith, you cannot let your sense, what your senses are telling you, to affect your faith. You must believe what the Word of God says, no matter how it may look. A lot of people, their faith is hindered because they look at what their senses tell them instead of acting on God's Word in faith. They're so controlled by the way they feel instead of, you know, I've had it where I'm lying in bed and I feel something in my heart. Something doesn't feel weird. And the devil tells me, you can have a heart attack. You ever had that happen? The devil tells me, you can have a heart attack. I don't say, Jill, I'm going to die. I'm going to have a heart attack. No, I say, no. The Word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I speak to my heart. The Word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. Jesus himself took my sicknesses, bore my infirmities. I thank you, Lord, I have a healthy heart. I thank you, Lord, with long life you'll satisfy me. I thank you, Lord, I'll live and not die and declare the... I speak God's Word and ignore what that feeling is, and then all of a sudden it goes away. See, because anytime you look to your senses and believe your senses, believe what you see above what God's Word says, you're going to lose the fight of faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, the things you can see with your eyes, they're temporary, they can change. Your body can change. God can heal you just like that. Your financial circumstance, I've seen it happen, can change just like that. The things you see are just temporary. That means they're subject to change. But the things you can see, the Word of God, the promises of God, they are eternal. They will never change. And God told us, don't look at, don't consider the things that you see and perceive with your senses. It doesn't mean we deny that they exist. We just simply ignore them. We don't let them influence our faith. If you're going to walk by faith and believe God, family, then, you know, you got to be willing to leave the realm of the senses. Move on for me, Josh, to the next one. You got to be willing to ignore what your senses are telling you and believe God's word, just like Abraham did. That's what Abraham did. And we know what happened. Abraham, he received the promise. In Romans 4, verse 19, it says, with undaunted faith, he looked at the facts. His own impotence. He was practically 100 years old at the time, and his wife Sarah's apparent barrenness, yet he refused to allow any distrust of a definite pronouncement of God to make him waver. Abraham refused to allow anything to make him waver. He believed if God said it, that settles it. And he believed it, and he became a father. Sarah gave birth to Isaac when Abraham was 100 years old. The second thing you've got to learn to ignore is you've got to learn to ignore negative thoughts, comments, and even sometimes negative people. You've got to know what thoughts to ignore. You've got to know what comments to ignore. You've got to know sometimes what people to ignore if you're going to stay in faith and if you're going to stay in peace. So you've got to get good at ignoring certain things. Anything that discourages you, you've got to realize that's not from God. Anything that discourages me is not from God. I'm not saying God will never challenge you, but God will never condemn you. God will never criticize and discourage you. He's called the God of comfort. And you've got to know what thoughts to ignore and what comments to ignore and what people to ignore. You've got to realize not every battle that comes across your path is a battle that you're supposed to fight. Many times those battles are just distractions. The enemy will try and get you distracted from really your destiny and caught up in things that don't really matter. He's trying to get you off course. If that battle is not between you and your God-given destiny, then it's a battle you should ignore. There's a lot of battles I just ignore. People want to get in a fight with me, but I ain't got time for it. That person at work who's always getting on your nerves, they're always making sarcastic comments. You can either try and fight that battle, you can either try to straighten them out, but if you do, you're wasting valuable time and energy that you should be using to pursue your dreams. You've got to realize that's a distraction. I've got to just ignore that. Amen, somebody. That family member that never gives you any credit, they celebrate everybody but you. You can either let it upset you, lose your peace, live frustrated, or you can ignore it. And you can just say out, it's no big deal. I don't need their approval. I have Almighty God's approval already. You see, it's so freeing when you realize that you don't have to fight every battle. You don't have to straighten out every person. You don't have to pay somebody back. You don't have to be offended because of what they said about you. You can ignore it. You can live happy. In fact, I'm convinced that we would enjoy life so much more if we would get good at knowing what things to ignore. Don't waste time, engaging in conflicts that really don't matter. Your critics can't keep you from your destiny. What they say about you, that doesn't define who you are. What someone does or doesn't give you, that doesn't determine your worth and your value. You're a child of the Most High God. The creator of the universe has breathed his life into you, and he put seeds of greatness within you. And the Bible says you've been crowned with favor. God's already anointed you and equipped you and empowered you and chosen you. He's given you everything that you need to fulfill the destiny he has for your life. So don't waste valuable time trying to play up to people, trying to win over all your critics, trying to prove to someone that you really are, that you are important. Those are battles that you probably are never going to win. I've accepted that some people will never celebrate me. There are some people will never celebrate and recognize your gifts. It's okay. Don't get distracted. God's already lined up the right people that will celebrate you, that will cheer you on, and who will help you fulfill your destiny. Amen? Let me tell you, Jesus was good at ignoring his critics. One time Jesus was on his way to pray for a little girl. She was very sick. In fact, she was close to death. And on the way to her house, It was actually Jairus' daughter, but on the way to her house, he was delayed by another woman who was ill. She had a bleeding disorder, and she heard about Jesus, and she said, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And the Bible says she pressed through the crowd of people that were around Jesus, and she touched the hem of Jesus' robe, and immediately the power of God flowed out of Jesus and flowed into her. Jesus felt it. He said, who touched me? And she was healed. People from the little girl's house came just a few minutes later in Mark chapter 5. They said to the man, your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further? They brought bad news. Look what Jesus did. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Jesus heard what they said, but he ignored it. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm. Don't be struck with fear. Don't be afraid. Just keep on believing. And you know what happened? Jesus went to the man's house and he raised the little girl from the dead. She had died, but Jesus raised her from the dead. But what's important to me is the Bible says he heard when they came with that negative report. Jesus heard it, but he ignored it. You know, you've got to learn to ignore some negative reports. You've got to learn what comments to ignore. Jesus faced a lot of criticism. In fact, one time he was in the temple on the Sabbath day and he saw a man who had a withered hand. And the Bible says that he said to him in Matthew chapter 12, he said, stretch out your hand. And as the man stretched it out, it was restored as the other. He was instantly healed. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they were there and they saw what happened. And they didn't like Jesus and they didn't understand him. And they all got together and they said, yes, Jesus, he did something good by healing that man, but he did it on the wrong day. He shouldn't have been working on the Sabbath day. And the next verse says in verse 14, the Pharisees went out and they plotted against him how they might destroy him. It was one of the things that that made them decide to try and kill Jesus was because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. It says, but when Jesus knew it, what did he do? He withdrew from there. And great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. Now notice, when Jesus found out that what they were plotting, he just withdrew. He just ignored them and he just moved on to the next place. He didn't let them distract him from his destiny. And the Bible says multitudes of people followed him and he healed a whole lot more people. On another occasion, Jesus sent some people ahead of him to prepare the place he was coming to visit. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says, Jesus passionately determined to leave for Jerusalem and let nothing distract him from fulfilling his mission. I like that. That's the passion. He let nothing distract him from fulfilling his mission. It says, for the time for him to be lifted up was drawing near. It was time, it was getting close to Jesus going to the cross. So he sent messengers ahead of him as envoys to a village of the Samaritans. But as they approached the village, they were turned away. And they would not allow Jesus to enter. For he was on his way to worship in Jerusalem. But they wouldn't let Jesus come into their town. When the disciples, Jacob, or also known as James and John, they were brothers. When they heard, when they realized what was happening, they came to Jesus. They said, Lord, if you wanted to, you could command fire to fall from heaven, just like Elijah, and destroy them all. And I kind of understand how they feel. Because I felt that way myself a couple of times. Lord, just send fire down. But Jesus rebuked them sharply. And he said, don't you realize what comes from your hearts when you say that? For the Son of Man did not come to destroy life, but to bring life to the earth. So what did they do? They went to another village. Now, Jesus could have called down fire and he could have wiped the whole village out if he wanted to. But he said, no, I came to save life. And he just moved on to the next place. He just ignored it, went somewhere else. I think about when people criticized Jesus and they came against him. The scripture says, many times it says, Jesus answered not a word. Like in Mark 14, 61, he kept silent and he answered nothing back. He didn't respond to his critics. He didn't try to convince them to change their mind. He didn't get upset because someone was talking about him. Jesus just ignored it. When people come against you and people are jealous and they try to make you look bad, remember, you're in good company. Jesus was probably criticized more than anybody. Amen. And I love that he didn't try to explain himself. He didn't try to make everyone understand him or like him. He just stayed focused and ran the race, fulfilled the destiny for which he came to the earth. Another time, one time Jesus had preached a particularly challenging sermon. And the Bible says in John 6, verse 66, so from that time, many of the disciples turned their backs on Jesus and refused to be associated with him. I had that happen to me many times. Many times. How many times have I had people come into this church, get saved, receive Jesus, life turn around, and then a year or two later, they get mad with me and they won't even associate, they won't even greet me. If I walk by the road, they turn and go the other way. I know how Jesus felt. So what did Jesus say in verse 67? How did Jesus handle it? Jesus said to the 12, how about you? Do you want to leave too? Amen. Jesus didn't go running after them. Please, please. Oh, please come back. Oh, please come and please come back. He says, you want to go too? Jesus didn't chase after them. He knew nobody could stop his destiny. So what did he do? He ignored his critics. Some of you would step into a new freedom in your life. And you'd see your life go to a whole new level if you'd quit fighting battles that really don't matter. So somebody's talking about you. Join the club. Ignore it. So somebody lied about you. Join the club. Ignore it. So somebody isn't celebrating you. Ignore it. You don't have to fight every battle. You don't have to respond to every critic. You don't have to be offended because of what they said. You can do like Jesus. And you can just simply ignore it. Because there's some people, they're never going to be for you no matter what you do. I can tell you some of the people that I've done the most for have been the most against me. Even if you, there's some people, even if you changed and you met all their demands and did everything they're asking you to do, they'd find something that you're doing wrong. You could go buy them a brand new BMW and they'd say, I really wanted a Mercedes-Benz. They'll overlook all the good and find some kind of fault. Let me give you a secret to save you a lot of heartache and pain. Just learn to ignore it. You don't need their approval. You don't have to have them cheering you on. They might try and make you look bad. But if you'll stay on the high road and let God fight your battles and stay in faith, the more they talk about you, the more God will bless you. The more they come against you, the more God will be for you. They might try and take you down, but God will use it to take you up. The key is not to get distracted, because it's easy to want to fight every battle, want to pay every person back. Well, what they said was wrong. I'm going to prove that I'm right. I'm going to defend myself. You got to ask yourself, even if I do get involved and I do win the battle, what is the prize? Is it going to advance me further in my destiny? Or is it a distraction that's going to steal my time and steal my energy? Amen. Let me tell you, number three, you got to learn to ignore some things on social media. Oh, man, I had to learn this. I had to learn this one, man. I'm still learning, but I've come a long way. I got to do this all the time. I see things on Facebook. I want to respond because that's my personality is confrontational. So you come at me, I'm coming right back. But I've had to learn not to do that. I've had to learn to ignore some things. I've had to learn to let some things go. A lot of things. Even with my wife, Jill and I, we're having a little bit of conflict. When she was 18, she did everything I asked, no problem, no effort. But now she ain't like that. She changed. She got an opinion now. And so every now and then we have a little conflict. Like anyone out there, any married people, ever that ever happened? So we have a little conflict. And I was talking to Ed Trout. There's very few people I can talk to, you know, about my personal things. So I was talking to Ed and he said, Steve, you got to learn to ignore those things. And I fought with him. I can't ignore it. He says, Steve, I'm telling you, just ignore it. And you know what? Life is so much better for me right now. I just ignore certain things. Like, for example, I'm driving the car. Anyone, your husband, your wife tells you do this, do that, that's like nonstop. I just learned, just ignore it. I just put my music on, sing along. And I just ignore it. Now, it's so much more pleasant driving in the car, isn't it? And you've got things you've got to ignore with me too, right? One or two little things? One or two? You'll get your chance later. Now, let me tell you. With this, even right now with the election coming up and the political climate, there's a lot of political posts. And I believe in freedom of speech. And I believe, you know, you've got a right to show your support and freedom of speech. I'm all for that. But I see some Christians, all day long, they post about politics, politics, politics. I never see one thing about Jesus. I never see one thing about their faith. All I see is politics, politics. And then they argue back and forth and they mean to people. La, la, la. And then the next month, they'll be posting about how much God loves people. And then they wonder why people not listening and their posts not impacting anybody. Let me tell you, I learned this. I can't tell you how many times that I see certain things on social media and I got to resist that temptation and just don't say anything about that. Don't get involved. Are you with me? It's not a battle. I think you'd be amazed how many battles we get in that really don't matter. Is it really worth ruining an evening with your spouse arguing over which restaurant you're going to eat at or what movie you're going to watch? Is it really worth getting upset because someone cut you off in the traffic or because your boss was rude? And that's another one I'm really working on ignoring the traffic, man. My biggest peeve is people in the fast lane doing 15 miles an hour. I mean, that's my biggest one right there. Life would be so much more enjoyable if we would accomplish so much more if we would learn what to ignore. Tell your neighbor, ignore it. The energy we spend arguing about things that don't matter, trying to prove to some of them that we're important, trying to win over all of our critics, that's energy we're not going to have to pursue our God-given dreams and goals. You know, they asked a well-known, world-renowned minister, they asked him, if you could do it all over again, is there anything you would do differently in your life? And he said, yes, I would ignore a lot more. I wouldn't respond to every critic. I wouldn't waste time arguing about things that don't matter. I wouldn't spend so much energy trying to make people understand me and trying to make people accept me. I'm telling you, many of us would see our life go to a new level if we would just start ignoring things that are not important. In the Bible, King Saul had to do this. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, Saul was chosen to be the first king of Israel. The prophet Samuel anointed him. Most people were excited about it. They congratulated Saul. But when he got back home, the people who knew him best, his longtime friends, they didn't like Samuel's choice. They began to ridicule Saul and mock him and laugh at him. And they even despised him. They said, he's not a king. He's not a leader. He doesn't have what it takes. The truth is they were just jealous of Saul and they were insecure and intimidated. So they tried to push him down and they were trying to make themselves look better. See, when people belittle you, they are being little. Small-minded people won't celebrate you. Small-minded people will be jealous and gossip. They'll try and make you look bad. But here's the secret. Don't fight battles with small-minded people. Because your future is too big to be distracted by somebody who is small. I'm asking you today to ignore some things. You got all worked up over something insignificant. You're allowing small-minded people to steal your joy, keep you from what is really important. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, if he'd stopped talking about me, I wouldn't be stressed out. Let me give you a news flash. If that person stops talking about you, somebody else is going to start talking about you because there's always somebody talking about us. Don't let it bother you. After all, God hears what they're saying and He'll make it up to you. Quit being frustrated because somebody isn't celebrating your gifts. Rather, use your energy to improve your skills. Be the best that you possibly can be. Because let me tell you, God will bring people across your path who will celebrate you. King Saul could have easily lost his focus and he could have said to those people making fun of him, what are you talking about? I am a good leader. I do have what it takes. He could have gotten distracted, spent all his energy trying to prove to them who he was. But what did he do? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 10:27, and they scorned him and they refused to bring him gifts, but Saul ignored them. And the Message Bible said, they held him in contempt. They refused to congratulate him, but Saul paid them no mind. My message to you today is pay no mind to jealous people. Pay no mind to people who don't celebrate you. Pay no mind to people who try to make you look small. Ignore their comments. Ignore their insults. Ignore the naysayers. Ignore your critics. They don't control your destiny. God controls your destiny. They are just distractions trying to keep you from God's best for your life. And King Saul understood this. He knew not everyone would be for him. He didn't waste his time trying to convince them. If you're going to fulfill your destiny, you've got to do what King Saul did. Instead of trying to play up to people, trying to win over all your critics, trying to prove to everyone you're important, no, just ignore it. Don't even lose any sleep over someone who isn't for you. Don't give your attention to someone who doesn't value who you are. If King Saul had gotten engaged in this battle, in this conflict, trying to win over all his naysayers, he would have never been who God called him to be. Your destiny is too great to get distracted by jealous, critical, small-minded people. If you focus on what they're saying about you and how they are doing you wrong, if you put your focus on that, if you focus on how they're not giving you any respect, that poison will get on the inside of you. Before long, you'll end up fighting a battle that you were never supposed to fight. You've just got to ignore their comments. Pay no attention to those insults. They are not going where God is taking you. You are called to be an eagle. You are called to soar and to do great things in life. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 in verse number 30, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And if you read it from the Passion Bible, it says they will rise up on soaring eagle wings, and fly like eagles. They will rise up on soaring wings Have we got that part? And they will fly like eagles, and they will run their race without growing weary, and they will walk through life without giving up. They will have a supernatural strength that enables us to rise above whatever circumstance we may face. Amen. And you know, the only bird that will peck at an eagle is a crow. There's a picture of the picture was taken of a crow sitting on the back of an eagle. They try and bite its neck. But the eagle doesn't even respond. He doesn't even fight back. You know why? Because an eagle knows a secret. An eagle can fly at altitudes that crows cannot. So instead of getting upset and trying to pay that crow back, trying to get engaged with a fight with a crow, he doesn't waste time or energy. Eagles just simply open their wings and they begin to rise higher and higher. And the higher they fly, the harder it is for the crow to breathe. And eventually the crow falls off because of a lack of energy, a lack of oxygen. He can't get as high as they do. And let me tell you, in this life, you're always going to have some crows crowing at you and some chickens pecking at you and some hawks trying to fight with you and some turkeys. But my encouragement today is don't give the crows 1 minute of your energy. Don't get drawn into those battles with them. Just ignore them and you just keep soaring and you keep reaching heights where all those crows can do is watch and wish that they're going where you're going. But people who won't grow can't go where you're going to go. All they can do is criticize and be jealous or be inspired. Amen? Let me tell you, you're an eagle. Say, I'm an eagle. You can fly at heights that no other bird can. Eagles have been spotted as high as 20,000 feet. So when someone's pestering you, when someone's being jealous, they're trying to make you look bad. Let me tell you, don't be a crow. Don't get in there and fight with them and try and pay them back. You're an eagle. Rise above it. Don't let it bother you. Don't respond to every criticism. Don't waste valuable time fighting battles that are not necessary in your life. All you got to do is come up higher, and the crows and the chickens and the turkeys can't soar where you're able to soar. Amen. You just set your face like flint and you run your race. You don't look to the left. You don't look to the right. You just keep looking straight ahead at what God has for your life. You don't get distracted by anybody and you watch how your life rises and you begin to soar to places you never ever thought you'd reach before. Can you say amen? In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 1, it says, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin that we so easily fall into. And then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has already been marked out before us. Do you know that God has a path for your life? Do you know God has a race for you to run? It says, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross, he conquered its humiliation, and he now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So carefully consider how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls, so you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures, so you won't give up, so you won't quit. Just stay focused and do what God has called you to do, because after all, when we come to the end of our life, we're not going to give an account to our critics. I'm so glad I'm not going to stand before my critics and they're going to judge me. No, I'm not going to have to answer to my naysayers or to the person who didn't believe in you. Let me tell you, all of us are going to give an account to Almighty God. We're going to stand before Him with our head held high. And I want to be able to say, Lord, I did my best. I ran my race. I finished my course. I became who you created me to be. How about you? Because as far as I'm concerned, that's true fulfillment. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? Listen, you could be a multi-billionaire. If you die and go to hell, your life was a failure. That's not success. No. Let me tell you, true fulfillment is when you can stand before God and receive Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's when you're going to receive those eternal rewards. God is going to reward you for running the race that He has. Let me tell you, the rewards that we're going to face on the... what do we call it? On Judgment Day, the rewards we're going to face, the rewards we're going to see are going to blow anything that you've ever seen in this world. Amen. Move on for the next one for me. Thanks, Josh. Some of you, you got to determine, am I going to live to please God or am I going to live to please people? Am I going to live to please God or am I going to live to please people? The Apostle Paul, he understood this. He said in Galatians 1:10, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. I don't know about you. I want people to be pleased with me, but I'm not living to please people. I'm living to please the Lord. And I found out sometimes when I do what God wants me to, not everybody's pleased about it. Jesus said in John 5, verse 41, he said, your approval or your disapproval means nothing to me. Your approval or your disapproval means nothing to me. Why did he say that? Because all that counted was doing what the Father had destined him to do. I've got to accept the fact, not everybody's going to like me. Not everyone's going to like me. Not everyone's going to understand me. That's okay. They didn't understand Jesus. They didn't celebrate King Saul. I'm going to do what he did. I'm not going to pay them any mind. I've become a professional ignorer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for treating people with respect, being kind to people, considerate to people. I try and treat everybody the same way. I try and be good to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. But what I'm saying is, don't waste valuable time trying to win over people who are never going to be for you. If someone doesn't celebrate you, move on. If they're not for you, be kind, be considerate, be respectful, but shake the dust off your feet. Don't waste an ounce of your energy trying to convince them to like you. Because let me tell you, there is an anointing of God on your life, not to be someone else. You are anointed to be you. God created you to be you. And when you let people try to squeeze you in their mold and bow down to their pressure, try to please all of your critics, it takes away your power, it takes away your uniqueness, and it lessens God's favor on your life. Pay no attention to people who don't celebrate you. Don't lose any sleep. Don't try and win them over. Just run your race with purpose, with focus, with integrity. Amen. Because let me tell you, when you stay focused and you do what God's put in your heart, you don't get distracted by the critics and the naysayers, and you ignore jealous, cynical, small-minded people, I can tell you, all the forces of darkness cannot keep you from where God is taking you. All the forces of darkness cannot stop what God wants to do in your life. Some of us, we need to break free. You're not anointed to keep everybody happy. You're anointed to run your race. If you say, Pastor Steve, if I do this, they may not be my friend anymore. If I do what God's put in my heart, I might lose this friend. That's okay. Let me tell you, God will bring you new friends. He'll bring you true friends, not people that have to manipulate you and try and make you do things the way they want. God will bring you people that celebrate you, people who let you be who God has called you to be. Can you say amen, somebody? If you're going to do anything great in life, you better get ready. If you're going to do anything great, there will be critics. If you're going to be a great business person or a great coach or a great student or a great leader, there's going to be opposition. People who judge, people who get jealous. And just remember, if you get kicked in the rear, it means you're out in front, man. If you get kicked in the rear, you're out in front. When people comes, amen? In other words, when people come against you, they're jealous, they're critical, take it as a compliment. It's because you're making a difference. In a race, how many of you know in a race, nobody is focused on the person who's in 20th place? All the eyes are on the front runners, first, second, third. The majority of attention is on the winners, right? I believe I'm looking at a group of winners here today. I believe I'm looking at people who are making a difference. I believe I'm looking at people who are pursuing their God-given goals and dreams and doing great things in life. That's who I'm looking at today. And here's my point. The more success you have, the more opportunities you're going to have for distraction. Here's why. Because the higher you go, the more the haters come out. When you start stretching to a new level, pursuing what God's put in your heart, the jealous, critical, small-minded people, they'll come out the woodwork, man. They'll start making negative comments. They'll start judging you. That's when you've got to dig your heels in and set your face like flint and say, I will not get distracted. I will not get drawn into battles that do not matter in my life. I will not quit because someone's talking about me. I will not give up because my good friend got jealous. I won't get discouraged because someone's not celebrating me. I'm not a people pleaser. I'm a God pleaser. I'm going to run my race. I'm going to finish my course in the name of Jesus. Amen, Tom. Let me tell you, the more God promotes you, the better you have to be at ignoring. You've got to get to a point where you won't think twice about getting in a conflict unless you know it's between you and your God-given destiny. Number four, last one, ignore anything that tries to distract you from the Word of God and the will of God. Anything that tries to distract you from the Word of God, you got to ignore it. Jesus told the parable about the sower sowing the word, and he spoke about the ways that the devil comes to try and steal God's word from people. And in Mark chapter 4, it's such a powerful portion. I just want to read it to you. It says, the sower sows the word, and the ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their heart. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the message that was sown in their heart. Do you know that the enemy, the devil, is going to try and steal God's word from you? Yeah. Thank you for your... 16. In the same way, the ones who are sown on the stony ground are those people, when they hear the word, at once they receive it, they accept it, and they welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves. They only endure for a little while. But when trouble and persecution arises on the count of the word, trouble and persecution arises. Why does the trouble and persecution come? It arises for the word. The enemy wants to get the word from you. It says immediately they are offended and they stumble and they fall away. I've seen that happen. Breaks my heart. I've seen people come in this church. They hear me preach. I try and warn them. The enemy comes to steal the word and they fall right in his trap. Verse 18, the ones sown among the thorns are those who hear the word, but then the cares and the anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. Say distractions. See, the enemy uses distractions to try and steal the word. It says the distractions of the age and the pleasure and the delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. The enemy is going to try and use distractions and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things. He uses all those things to try and distract you, to steal God's word from you. And those sown on the good ground are the ones who hear the word, they receive it, they accept it, they welcome it, and they bear fruit. Some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times, and some even 100 times. People who hear God's word, they receive it, and they do it. Those are the ones that bear fruit. See, the devil, say, the devil's trying to steal God's word from me. Your time is too valuable to waste it being distracted. Life is too short to be upset because someone's talking about us, or be offended because a jealous co-worker is trying to make you look bad, or go around frustrated because a family member doesn't celebrate you. Don't get drawn in those battles. Do like King Saul. Ignore it. Pay it no mind. Run your own race. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to sit around and think about all the people that don't like me. That would be very depressing to do. I realize every day is a gift from God. Our time is too valuable to try and figure out how we can please everybody, how we can win over every critic. No, rather when you get up, search your own heart, make sure that you are doing what you know God wants you to do. Then go out and be your best. And let the chips fall where they may. I know some people who think more about what other people are saying about them than they do about pursuing their own dreams. Quit dwelling on the negative things that people have said about you. Don't get on the internet. Dear Lord, don't get on the internet and read something bad someone wrote about you. People send me stuff. Pastor Steve, I saw this about you on the internet. Don't send it to me. I don't want to read it. Can you imagine Joel Osteen? I mean, I think for Joel Osteen, my Lord, he says he doesn't read anything on the internet. He couldn't. I mean, have you read the stuff they write about him? The guy's doing winning souls for the Lord like no one's business. And you think he's the devil incarnate. He says, I don't read any of that stuff. All it'll do is poison you. Before long, you'll be defensive, trying to prove to everybody you're really okay. You've got to be so secure in who God called you to be that those comments bounce off you like wood off a duck's back. You're going to be so confident in your calling. You don't have to have everyone cheering you on. You don't have to have everybody's approval. You have God's approval. The Apostle Paul faced a lot of criticism in his life. In 1 Thessalonians 2, he said, you know how badly that we were treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. But we speak as messengers approved by God. We're approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of my heart. You know, people may judge you. People judge me. Only God knows the motives of your heart. Some people questioned Paul's motives, and they questioned his integrity, and some didn't approve of him. But he said, God approved of us, and he lived to please God and not people. And you don't have to fight every battle. You don't have to respond to every critic. You don't have to be offended because of what somebody said about you or didn't say. You can do like King Saul and ignore it. You're not a crow, you're an eagle. You can rise above it. That's what Nehemiah did. God called Nehemiah to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, and he and his men got started, but he had two main critics. They were Sanballat and Tobiah, and they were constantly criticizing Nehemiah and spreading rumors about him, trying to make him look bad. They said, Nehemiah, he's not a builder. He doesn't know what he's doing. If a fox runs on that wall, it's going to come crashing down. And the whole time Nehemiah and his men, they had to listen to these two men belittle them and ridicule them, and they kept wanting to try and meet with Nehemiah. What did Nehemiah do? The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4, I sent messengers to them, and I said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? And they sent this message 4 times, and I answered them the same way. They kept sending messages. We're going to talk to you. We want to meet with you. Say, I ain't got time to come down and meet with you. I'm doing a great work. What did he do? He ignored them. He let it go in one ear and go right out the other ear. Amen. When that didn't work, they went to the city leaders and they spread lies about Nehemiah. And they said, Nehemiah's not building this wall for our good. He's building a kingdom for himself. He's doing this for his own good. They started questioning his motives. Don't you know that he was tempted to come down off that wall and shut them up? But he was smart enough to realize that they were just a distraction, and he chose to ignore it, and he went on to build that wall in the record time of 52 days. Rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem in 52 days. Let me tell you, anytime God puts a dream in your heart and you start pursuing your goals, you can be sure that the Sanballats and the Tobias are going to show up. The mark of a true champion is knowing what battles to fight. Like with Nehemiah, many battles should be ignored. Nehemiah knew if he came down off that wall and spent his time and energy fighting and arguing with these men, sure, he may have defeated them. Sure, it may have made him feel good, but that wouldn't have advanced him toward his destiny. He wouldn't have finished that wall. He chose to be an eagle. He chose to rise above it. I'm asking you today to do the same thing, to be selective what you give your attention to. Don't get caught up in battles that really don't matter. Do like Nehemiah. Ignore the Sanballats and the Tobias in your life. Do like King Saul. Ignore the people not celebrating you. Be like Jesus. Don't respond to your critics. Pay no mind to jealous, critical, and small-minded people. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you will do this, let me tell you right now, you'll be amazed what God will do in your life. Can I give you 4 things as I close today? Can I throw in a little extra today? I told you what to ignore. Can I tell you what not to ignore? Number one, don't ignore God. The scripture says in Romans 8, verse 7, focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about themselves than they do about God. The person who ignores God, who God is, and what God is doing, and God is not pleased at being ignored. Don't ignore the Lord. Ignore your critics, but don't ignore God. Always seek the Lord. Put him first in your life. Love him above all else, and put your trust in him above all others, because let me tell you, he'll never let you down. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will be with you when everybody leaves you. He will stay with you. Number two, don't ignore the Word of God. Don't ignore the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said in Proverbs 13, verse 13, I love the scripture. Listen to this. Ignore the Word and suffer. Honor God's commands and grow rich. Ignore the Word and suffer. Some of you, every Sunday, hear Pastor Jill and you just ignore it. It goes in this ear, goes right out that ear. Ignore it and suffer. Honor God's commands and be rich. Proverbs 8:33. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Jesus said, Matthew 5:19, if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Number three, don't ignore God's will for your life. Put God's will above your own. When I was 17 years old, I stood in I was living at home, of course, with my parents, and I remember standing in the kitchen, and I remember praying. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I said, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. And the Lord took me. Here I am, 8,000 miles from home. Let me tell you, I want God's will more than I want my own will. Jesus said this in Luke 12:47. The servant who knows what his master wants and ignores it, or incidentally does whatever he pleases, will be thoroughly trashed. That's what it says. Mark 8:34, Jesus called to him the throng with his disciples, and he said to them, if anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself, forget, ignore, disown, lose sight of himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and join me as a disciple and side with my party, follow with me, continually cleave steadfastly to me. Someone said, what party are you with, Pastor Steve? I'm with Jesus' party. That's what party I'm with. I'm with his party. I'm siding with him. Number four, don't ignore walking in love and mercy. I'll close with this. Matthew 23:23, great sorrow awaits you, religious scholars and Pharisees, you frauds and pretenders, for you are obsessed with peripheral issues, like insisting on paying meticulous tithes on the smallest herbs that grow in your gardens. It says these matters are fine, yet you ignore the most important duty of all, to walk in the love of God, to display mercy to others, and to live with integrity. Readjust your values and place first things first. Don't ignore love. Don't ignore mercy. Don't ignore showing love and mercy to people. Don't ignore the word of God. Don't ignore the will of God. Don't ignore God and his word and his commands. But ignore anything else that opposes God's word. Ignore anything else that tries to steal your faith. Ignore anything that brings doubt. Ignore the critics. Ignore the naysayers. Ignore battles that are not between you and your God-given destiny. Because let me tell you, if you'll get good at knowing what to ignore and not get distracted by things that don't matter, I tell you this, in the name of Jesus, God is going to fight your battles for you. I declare, just like with Nehemiah, the more they talk, the more God's going to promote you. In the name of Jesus, you're going to accomplish your dreams in record time. You're going to overcome every obstacle. You are going to defeat every enemy. And I believe that you are going to become everything that God destined you to become in Jesus' name. If you receive it today, if you agree, shout out amen, somebody. Give God praise today if you receive this today. Did you get something out of this today? Well, I got a lot preaching to myself. I got a lot out of this today. Just bow your heads for a moment. Father, we thank you today. Bow your head for a moment. Lord, I thank you for every person here today. Lord, you know everything that every person's facing. You know everything about their life, every detail. You know what enemies, you know what critics have come against them. I thank you, Father, today for speaking to our heart. Thank you for helping us, Lord, to not be distracted. Thank you for helping us to focus and follow your will. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be able to ignore things that are not important, to ignore things and battles that are not between us and our destiny, and to rise up like an eagle and to rise above these things, Lord, and fulfill your plan and your purpose. I pray for each and every person in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Kelly. Listen, while you got your head bowed and while you got your eyes closed, I just want to ask right now, before we close the service in a few minutes, I just want to pray for anyone here this morning. If you are not sure where you stand with God, go ahead. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, listen, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I'm absolutely certain Let me tell you the good news. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that you know that all is right between you and God, that every mistake and every sin you ever committed in your life, that it's forgiven, that it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, there is a heaven to gain. Heaven is real. Heaven is a real place. Hell is real. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you're sitting, while heads are bowed, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. Please include me in this prayer. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, just slip your hand up right now. I'm looking for hands. Just lift your hand up high. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Just slip it up right now. Here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. Do you see anybody's hands, Tom? You did see? Okay. I'm going to ask everyone who raised your hand, please say this prayer. If you're watching this online, please say this prayer with me. The scripture says in Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So everybody say this prayer with me together. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, to take my punishment, and to die in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. Say it. Say, I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you, Lord. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say, I thank you, Lord, because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. Say, I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is now my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. God bless you. If you're watching this, you prayed that prayer. God bless you. Best decision you ever made in your life. I encourage you, get into a good church. Start learning the Bible. Follow God's plan for your life. Amen, everybody. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, as we get ready to close, if you raised your hand, we have a gift for you. We're not closing the service. Just give me 2 more minutes. I'll get you out in 2 more minutes. I promise you right now, restaurants will be open. 2 more minutes. Just hang in there. If you raised your hand, we have a gift for you. Please, will you just remain seated for 2 minutes? We'll get it over to you. We're going to receive an offering right now to get this TV going, to buy these cameras, buy the switch, everything we need. Let's ask this question. How many agree that this is a great thing for us to go onto Fox Television? Wave your hand if you agree. Not everybody agrees with that. Some folks, they don't have their hands up. You don't agree we should do this? Well, I can tell you right now, the Lord opened this door. I never went after it. I never pursued it. It came to me. I believe God opened the door. Why? To reach people. To reach people. I don't believe we should keep what we have a secret. I believe we need to tell as many people as we can. And so I'm asking you to help us today. We're going to receive an offering. Are you ready to give? Because you had time to think about it. You ready to give? You ready to write it out? Are you excited about giving? Anyone here loves giving? Any cheerful givers here today? All right. Ushers, are you ready? Where are you at? Can we go ahead and pass the buckets, everybody? So who needs more time? You still need. I don't want to rush anybody. So just give him a second. While you're doing that, let me tell you this. Remember, I told you I've got 3 things I want to tell you. What was the first one? The return. Yes, Pam. This Saturday, prayer. This Saturday. What was the second one? Fox TV. Let me tell you the third one. On Wednesday, the 7th of October, we have a very exciting event here called InventShine. Tom, come out here, Tom. Tom and Allison, his daughter, are going to be presenting the Invent Shine. We're calling all inventors. Now, if you don't know this, that Tom, his ideas have earned hundreds of millions of dollars in sales. And so God's put it on his heart to teach the church. People have ideas for inventions, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't know where to go from there to bring it from conception to completion. And so If you go to like an attorney, a lawyer, it could cost you $10,000-$15,000 for them to explain all this stuff. You're going to come on Wednesday night and Tom and Allison are going to do this presentation. We're making it open to anyone. I want to please invite friends, people that have an idea for business or an invention and they don't know what to do about it. Tom and Allison are going to be training you on October the 7th at 7 p.m. It's receive expert advice and training from successful entrepreneurs with product sales over $100 million. Our own Tom Cartwright. That is on October 7th. That's a Wednesday night. It'll be 7 till 8 p.m. We're going to be filming it because Tom is going to take this video. It's going to go around the world. I already spoke to Pastor Theo. He wants to take the Invent Shine program and he's going to offer it to all 1,200 of the churches under his care. And so I encourage you, October the 7th, come join us. Praise the Lord. That's it. Also, I want to let you know, we have an AA meeting here on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this church. We have 40 to 50 people in an AA meeting on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. At what time is it, Josh? Where's Joshua? Joshua, where'd you go, brother? I think it's at 7:30, and it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If you know anyone, have them come. It's open to everybody. Stand up with us as we go home today. Let's declare it. I need a ghost. I need the Holy Ghost.
I need the Holy Ghost. Awaken in my soul. I need love that glows, rattling my bone till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awaken in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy, Holy. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost.